CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, CliffCentral.com. It's 7 o'clock. It's a beautiful day. It's Friday. The weekend is here. Lots of people very, very happy about that. And if you've got plans for the weekend, tell us what they are. Make us jealous. We don't mind. I don't mind. You can tell me what's going on. Here's a cool email that I got from Caleb. And, you know, I sometimes read these things because they just have one or two interesting things in them. Sometimes I read them because it's a really interesting observation of the show. This morning, this is for like everyone who's on the show. So just listen to this quickly. I've recently started listening to you guys from June 2020. I live in Windhoek, but I'm now back in Kurdistan. Wow. This has got to be the first person from Kurdistan who's listening to us. It's not even a country, but it's, you know, the Kurds are the people in northern Iraq and in eastern Turkey and in eastern Syria. And that's a really interesting place to be. I mean, part of me is really curious about what you do there, Caleb. And another part of me wishes I was there just to explore some of that territory. That is where, in Kurdistan, that's kind of where Alexander the Great fought the Battle of Gaugamela. I'd love to go and see that. And you know, because Iraq, I had a dream about Iraq the other day. I dreamt about going to visit ancient Babylonia. But then this is what makes me so fucked up, is that I have dreams about that. Some people have dreams about, like, you know.
Gareth, you have such particular you know, great dreams. We just dreamed that we were stuck in a pool of melted cheese.
You see, like, I'd like a melted cheese dream every now and then. There was so much work in my dreams. I just want to chill. Anyway, so this comes from Kurdistan now. So Caleb sends this email to us. It says, Mbulelo first. I mean, Mbulelo gets more feedback on the show than anyone else at the moment. Right, so here's Mbulelo. I will not stand for any Mbulelo slander. I resonate with him a lot. Similar socialization. He's just different and is proud of it and does not need any help of any sort. I have some human science background. He livens up the show for me. I would have him for more days on the show. He just has a low social desirability because people want us to conform. People do not like people who show them that they need to be more. He is smart and he knows it. Wow. Lots to say about
very intuitive.
Yeah, lots to say about Mbulelo. Poor me. She has the best opinions on the show and is a good mom too. She leaves no passengers when she speaks. Everyone has to join in. Gord. I'm not sure if I would want my friends to know I listen to Gord. He has the most weird way of putting things across. Gord comes from a different planet. He has a way with words and speaks very fast. He's like a bazooka on a car. That's interesting. Gareth, he and Mbulelo are very similar. The difference is Mbulelo tells you he is smarter and he does not care. Gareth has more EQ than Mbulelo. He has a good way of engaging with people. Mm. Pinky. Mm-hmm. Pinky is the perfect representation of a normal South African, and normal's not an insult here. He says, she makes the Gareth Cliff Show more down to earth, which is great. She's very well educated. Yes, she is. She's probably the only qualified person on the show, actually. Leanne Moll, broadcaster extraordinaire. She doesn't give two shits about what people think of her opinion. She riles Gareth up, and I love it.
Thank you.
Extraordinaire.
Hashtag the show must continue. Nothing about you, Sia.
No.
I know.
You were not a fan of me.
No, nothing about you. Nothing. Sorry.
Oh, Sia.
No, excuse me. I'm not fishing.
Star,
no, I'm not fishing for compliments. No.
Mbulelo says, excuse me, I have a BSc in chemistry. Yeah, but that's not the same as that's not the same as...
I also have a Bachelor of Arts in English and Communications.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't count, Leanne.
And you know what? I have two semesters in a Bachelor of Arts in Communication Science.
Did you not qualify, Sia?
No.
How embarrassing.
What?
How embarrassing. What?
You naughty children.
What? All right.
I know.
All right. What's going on? What's on your mind? What do you want to throw into the ring? Oh, by the way, Hi Rob is joining us later at 7:30. Mm-hmm. In a chat to Hi Rob. So that's why he was on my mind
him.
When we talked about, you know, we talked about Amsterdam earlier. So someone called into the show last week and said they want to know what Hi Rob's up to. So we're going to find out.
So we oblige.
So speaking of other countries in the world, mm-hmm. do you remember those beautiful photographs of those tall vertical buildings in China that were just covered in plants? They were like vertical forests.
Yes. They were saying like it's the greener way to live. And
yeah. Well, it's all gone horribly wrong. Like totally tits up.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry about that. I thought it was a good idea.
People have had to abandon the apartments after the buildings that were overrun by plants and mosquitoes.
Hmm.
Okay, it's not the worst thing that I thought of. Mosquitoes are horrible, but I was thinking of all of the jojos that come with plants.
I just love that saying, tits up. I just think that's just the greatest way to explain.
You were still stuck on tits even after we moved on so much.
I was just,
we were talking about other things.
Yeah, I'm still a child.
Where does it even come from?
I don't know.
Not sure, but I love it.
Okay. I just imagine someone.
But I love it.
Oh, okay. We have to guess the song again.
I can't tell you where tits up comes from, but I love it.
So these plants have literally like swallowed up people's balconies. They can't even open their doors or windows.
Yeah.
And there's just this mass invasion of mosquitoes.
That's excellent.
Excellent, Gareth?
Because it's nature reclaiming space. It's
showing who's boss.
But it's also humans who have not maintained the plants. You have to trim them, and you know, plants like children need discipline. If you're going to let them grow all over the place, then they're going to grow all over the place, and then you have no one to blame but yourself when your door won't open. Don't blame the fucking plants. Plants are doing what plants do.
And here's the thing, plants don't grow like massively overnight. Are you telling me the people who, you know, were opening their door and noticed, that plant is awfully close now, they didn't do anything about it for like 7 weeks up until they couldn't open their doors anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Now I'm remembering the listener who just messaged before 7 talking
about how gardening is for gardening. Old people.
Oh, damn it.
I just think it's cool for mosquitoes that they can fly up really high and find blood up in the sky.
What?
Leanne, is that a legitimate concern of yours? You used to think about how mosquitoes couldn't find blood in the sky. What are you saying?
Well, it's a new thing for them.
Have you had a drink already?
Is Leanne okay?
No, I've been tempted, but no.
I think you've had a drink this morning.
No.
Have you been having wine gums?
No, I'm eating blueberries and drinking green tea and water.
You just said so you feel bad for you felt bad for mosquitoes.
No, I think it's cool. I think it's cool. They must have thought, what the hell?
We've had some stupid conversations in this show before, but this one ranks right up. Feeling sorry for mosquitoes. Jesus, what have we done?
I promise you there'll be someone who agrees with me.
Who on the face of planet Earth?
Gareth, keep checking the messages.
You reckon someone's going to agree with you?
Yeah. Right. I don't feel sorry for them. I just think it's cool that they're now like on another plane.
You aren't going to win me over on this one. Sorry.
Have you got any plans for the weekend? What are you doing? Come on. I've got nothing. I have nothing on my agenda today. Zero. And it's kind of making me a little antsy.
Why?
I'm just excited because I got re-inspired, and I've been juicing and eating my blueberries and grains and going for walks.
Well done.
So that's also why I definitely haven't drank this morning.
Good.
But yeah.
As opposed to other mornings?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just feels good to feel better about myself again. So I'm definitely coming out of a black hole, that's for sure. Feels nice.
That's good. But the reason I'm feeling antsy is because everything is opening up. And I suddenly feel like people might be doing things and I might be missing out. And I've never felt FOMO before. So it must be as a result of lockdown. So I'm thinking I should be doing something tonight, but I don't know what.
No. Are nightclubs open?
No, I wouldn't go to a nightclub. But also the curfew is only extended from the 1st of October. So don't go out tonight for dinner thinking you can stay there until 12.
Also, you can't buy wine today. I almost went into that trap.
When?
Why?
Because now it's Mondays to Fridays.
Yeah. When?
Look, I know we're just sounding like every other person complaining about these restrictions, but they really don't make sense to me now that curfew is up until 12 midnight and then to 4 a.m. So does that mean like some hectic people who... Some hectic partiers can go into a club.
No,
and you know what?
See,
you can. Mm-hmm.
It's because they want to control things a little bit longer. And in some ways, I understand it because we have a very undisciplined society. Now, I'm not saying I want this because I think all of us should be able to make our own minds up. And if stupid people decide to do stupid things, there's nothing we can do about it. But I think they're trying almost because they would have seen crime will have gone down. Because people are restricted to travel at night and as a result, they can monitor those people who are traveling so the police can be more vigilant and, you know, we can hopefully stop a lot more opportunistic crime.
Mm.
If you open it, and I'm not saying that's a solution because I don't believe that people's freedom of movement should be restricted in any way. Curfews are what happens in military-controlled totalitarian states. I don't like it at all. So don't get me wrong. But I think the government is saying, well, we've had a few good results here because drunk people haven't been causing as much antisocial shit as they usually do. And there's probably less murder and rape and crime in general. So they're just holding on to the curfew for as long as they can because they reckon the results outside of COVID have been good.
Speaking to someone in their 30s, they said they quite enjoyed the curfew because it gave them an excuse to have to go home at a certain time.
Yeah.
From social gatherings.
Sia, what did you want to say?
So really, I'm saying a hypothetical, but I don't see myself doing it, but it could be done. A club only gets like really hot and going at like 11 p.m. If I leave the house at 11, 11:30 and I go to the club and I only leave the club after 4 a.m. Does that technically mean I've adhered to...
Yeah, you could.
...curfew?
Well, no, you know what, you probably can't...
Just because there shouldn't be any movement between midnight and 4 doesn't mean I necessarily have to be at home.
I know of a friend of mine who went to a party that was... I don't know if it was a house or at a club or... I'm not sure what it was, but he said to me he arrived there at 9 o'clock. They obviously shut the doors at 10 because of curfew, but people were partying inside. And then they opened up again at 5 in the morning.
Ooh,
probably aren't allowed to buy booze at that time. Mm-mm. You're not probably supposed to.
Maybe if it's a closed venue and there's, you know, the right number of people inside, you can. I think this is going to lead to a whole new way of people doing social things.
Ooh.
Because... Because they're going to go, all right, well, I'm in for an all-nighter, and as long as there are 250 or less of us, we can party up a storm, and you can...
It's like literally go big or go home.
If I were in the entertainment business now, I mean the event business, I would open up a venue. I'd maybe buy some very expensive villa in Sandton, or else I'd rent it, and I would hand out extremely expensive invitations. I'd make sure there was plenty to drink, good music, nice vibe, and then I would sell invitations to this thing at 500 rand a pop, and when you get to 250 you just cut it sold out. People would go for that in a heartbeat, I'm telling you, because they're so starved for entertainment right now.
Yeah, absolutely,
brilliant way to make some money.
And then I really have no dog in this sporting fight, but it doesn't make sense that large stadia and you know, these massive sporting venues have the same restrictions as a club, you know? If the capacity of, you know, the F&B Stadium is, what, 70-odd thousand, why should they only limit it to that? But anyway, I'm hopping on.
Well, I'm surprised you even brought up a sports story. That's something I didn't expect.
Because my heart is green and gold.
Yeah, I know. So, you always wore your Springbok jersey on a Friday because you're such a patriot. Yes. Mongezi says, and Mongezi makes a very good point here. Says, since these professional bullshitters called astrologers told us that 2020 was going to be plentiful and wonderful, I think it's only fair that we ban, burn, or hang anyone found practicing this craft publicly without trial. They've been
Are we living in Salem?
Well, Mongezi makes a point here. Just listen, let me finish his thought here. He says, astrologers have proven how pathetic and useless they are. They've had an easy ride all this time. 2020 proves that they're morons, so we need to punish them. He makes a, I think it's a fairly valid point. If you're an astrologer and you said, let's say you wrote for a publication and you wrote these astrology, these horoscopes, and you said, no, 2020 is going to be your year. Well,
A lot of travel in 2020.
How about we drive a steamroller over you and see if the stars predicted that?
And then they'll say, no, travel maybe not be physical, it might be internal, you know, imaginative travel, dreams.
These guys are such...
There'll be some excuse.
Such bullshit aside.
What if?
I'm with Mongezi. All right, so that's all I have to say about that.
I'm still a believer, even though we had one of those women say that I'll marry a woman a couple of months ago. Remember that?
Oh, my God, how funny.
Listen to this from Carl. He says, a French microbiologist and his girlfriend from Ecuador, who's now my Spanish language teacher, arrived in South Africa in February of 2020 to come and work and experience our country. They bought a car from a place in Pretoria, traveled 25.6 kilometers, and it burnt and it broke down. When they didn't get their refund, they complained, blah, blah, blah. Any suggestions from George? And okay, well, we'll talk to him in Auto Trader, Auto Central a little bit later on. George Meany, he's talking about. So, all right, Carl, I'll see if we can ask George that question later. Pete Lang saying, my plans for the weekend. Today is my birthday, and all I want is sex, 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 and more sex. Will Leanne and Sia please come to my house and give me sex? Emizwilili. Will be the that's obviously Mbulelo will be the narrator. Otherwise, I will just be depressed all weekend as usual.
Oh my God, I can't even look at Sia on the screen right now.
I know. Do we have to do it? Leanne, you know I love sharing with you.
No, Sia, no.
We can tap in and tap out. I think this is a great plan.
Now, here's a compliment for you, Sia. I had to search quite a long time to find it, but Lorette says...
I was not fishing for compliments.
Lorette says, in the beginning, I thought there was no way I'd be able to listen to Sia every day. Well, I was wrong. I love Sia.
that's the best we can find.
A half-hearted one.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me tell you. Kind of fucked up, but now, less fucked up. Yeah.
I'm used to your fucked upness.
Hey, Gareth, your idea about the parties is excellent. This could lead us back to old school house parties. Those were always better than clubs. Mash. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I'm not surprised didn't really pick up, but I also feel bad for these business people who actually tried it. Those drive-in movie experiences, we actually spoke to two guys who were doing it a couple of months ago, and also the social distancing ones where people get to like sit or like have their own, it looked like boxing rings on a field. I'm not surprised that didn't pick up because, I mean, it wasn't the best of ideas in my opinion.
Well, what would you like to do? I mean, are you looking for a lot of people or a few people? Or, you know, what kind of social activity would be right for you?
I'm giving it up until December before I venture into a massive crowd again. And I want to go to a club. I want sweat. I want tons of bodies. I miss that pressure in a club when you can't even hear yourself think. And then you have to like scream to your friend who's standing next to you, I miss someone standing on my foot. And then they have to apologize because it's just that packed. That's what I miss. Ooh, not the social distancing. I would far rather just have 2 more months of patience. But that's what I really want. I want an excuse to get dressed again and to go out and to, you know, someone's phone gets lost over the course of the evening, and we have great stories the next morning.
I've got to play you something. How do I do this properly? Let me just see if I can find a way to play this, because I've got a clip that was on ENCA. It's a white woman talking, but you would never think it. I'm just going to see if I can send this to my laptop. Just hold on a second. You know, this is
South African.
Yeah. She was at an artist's protest. So a whole bunch of people in the arts who are protesting, you know, lack of jobs and funding and all the rest of it. So I don't know what her grievance is in particular, but it's entertaining to hear her talk. Just because she sounds, if you close your eyes, she sounds like she has a very generalized black accent. You would never think she was a white girl.
Was it Nina Hasty?
You would think it was Nina Hasty, right? It isn't Nina Hasty.
Sorry, love you, Nina.
No, we all love
you. Just put your phone to the microphone.
No, I've got it here. I've got it. You're going to hear it now. All right, so here it is. Just listen to this. If Leanne and Sia can't hear it, then everyone else can. So let me play it anyway. Listen to this. This is from ENCA, right?
That President Cyril Ramaphosa will hear their call.
All right. Now, that's the news reporter. That's whoever it is reporting from the union buildings. Here's this woman. Just listen to this. This is so entertaining. This may be the most interesting thing I've seen on TV for a long time.
Although COVID-19 happened 7 months, did they ever think ukuthi silala kuphi? How many artists were kicked out of their flats because of abakwazi ukubhadala ama rent? How many artists don't even have a plate of food? Sathengiswa ama food parcel aswatholanga.
So she speaks the language. Her name is Mariki Botma. But like, you won't believe this. It's unbelievable. There's more. I mean, I'll just play the rest of it quickly because she comes back on.
He can open the country, but beyond that, you need to see us, acknowledge us. You know, yes, COVID-19 will come and it will go, but we are human beings. We need to eat. We've got children we need to put through school. Many of us are single mothers. Mm.
So she basically, she talks like this, huh? And she's whiter than me. And I mean, it's just really entertaining. Don't tell me we don't live in an interesting place, you know?
Yeah.
There are people.
Her name is Mariki.
Mariki Botma. And see, she's whiter than a sheet of A4 paper. But she sounds like that. Ayo, bangani iyo. It's quite something to hear. I'm going to send you the clip so you can listen to it yourselves.
Maybe she hangs out a lot with black friends.
I think she
picked up the lingo.
No, I think she also clearly, she speaks one or more black languages, which is amazing. I mean, I think a lot more of us would like to be able to do that. But the accent's the thing. When she speaks English, she sounds like she's not an English first language speaker, if you know what I mean. Does that
it's
make sense?
It's like that one girl that was on Dr. Phil, white girl, and she speaks like she's from the ghetto.
Yeah.
The Kashmir Asai girl?
Kashmir Sahabada.
I think
it was her. Jesus, she was something else, that girl. But it's just entertaining. I mean, I do love it, especially for people who want to make things seem like they're one-dimensional. Look who's here. It's Hi Rob. How are you doing, dude?
Hey, guys. Hi, how's it going?
Yeah. Yay!
Listen, bro, all I see from you is these awesome pictures of you traveling around on your motorbike. You finally got that deal done, and you've been traveling well since lockdown's opened up a little bit. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Hey, I mean, I know it's like probably an unpopular opinion, but 2020 has probably been one of my best years of my life.
Like, good for you.
Yeah, just in terms of like work and like getting my bike and also traveling. I know it's hard to say, but I was in Portugal
Yeah.
I think like what was it, a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing. Like I did all the things I wanted to do, and I got a bike trip planned to Belgium, and then I'm supposed to be coming back in December to South Africa for like a month. But yeah, that's I don't know when that's going to happen. KLM lets me book my flights, so whether they're going to cancel it or not. So
all right, so
yeah,
what's lockdown been like in Amsterdam? And is it true? Sia said that it looks like you guys might go back into lockdown. What's the story?
Yeah, they've had rumors, but anyway, Amsterdam's been really relaxed on lockdown, and I think maybe they kind of took the right approach to it, where they just kind of at first closed all the bars and restaurants, but then not for that long, and they open up. We don't have to wear masks, just on public transport, and everything's pretty much still open. Like bars are still open. They kind of manage how many people are in the bars, but it's really business as usual here, which is nice. And I think that was the best approach, or you know, they actually could have just done nothing. But again, it's funny you say that, because I didn't really think COVID was a thing. You know, I thought it was just like some made up bullshit. Obviously yeah. not, but like, I just didn't believe in it. And then I was on one of my friends sent me a vlog, and it was actually my ex-girlfriend who had COVID. Oh. She's like my age. And of course, being an Instagram influencer, she had to like vlog and document the whole experience. Uh-oh. So it was quite funny.
First of all, can I just remark, I'm going to remark on the fact that this is the least high you've ever sounded on the show.
No, I know. Since I've got the bike and had a stable relationship, I've kind
Look
of
you. You've
taken a
down.
Tilt, you know. I'm usually up at these hours on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. But perish the thoughts. Do we now just have to call you Rob and not Hi Rob?
No. I still get there on the weekends, but it's a lot less than I used to. I had to take it.
Hey, sorry, I'm just renaming you. Responsible Hi Rob is the way.
Look,
to
the
go.
Festivals were banned this year, so yeah. That took a big chunk out of the Hi Rob lifestyle.
Yeah, like, of course.
That put a huge damper.
Maybe yeah? sometimes Hi Rob.
I would say every Friday it's Hi Rob.
Okay.
So if we have this call again at like Friday at like 10, then you'll definitely get to know me.
So a little bit later on, you're going to be the usual dude we know.
Yeah, exactly. No, definitely and stuff. But I also want to say that one of the funniest shows I've ever heard, and I think I've listened to it probably about 10 to 20 times, and I listen to it when I'm gymming, and I'll just laugh out loud, and people think I'm like going crazy, is that one you did, I think it was a Friday back on the poo thing.
Last Friday.
I think I've shown it to about like 8 people, and it's probably the best couple of minutes of my life. You know, like the way you guys break down in that interview is amazing.
I always think of this show, and it makes me happy to know that people like a show like that, because that's what we're going for. But then a part of me thinks, what if that was the show that like someone told Elon Musk to listen to us, and he listened to that.
He listened to that.
Then he would never listen again. He'd say, these people are fucking useless. They don't know what they're doing.
I know.
I always think, well, maybe that's the one that, you know, the CEO of Spotify, and they were thinking about buying us. And then he listened to that show, and he's like, not a fuck am I wasting my money on this.
But that's comedy gold, but it's more funny because I know you guys so well. So I can see like you trying to hold your composure, C and Leanne like lost it straight up first couple minutes. No control.
Okay, but that woman, she was terrific because she was very, very serious until we started playing fart noises.
And, it was the bean.
Yeah, and then the farts. And she couldn't hold. She's the dietitian, and she started laughing. She could not come back from it. But she told us outrageous things like that your turds need to be as long as from your elbows. I mean, if anyone is making turds that long, you've got. I think you need to be put in a circus.
No, but they can be broken up, Gareth. They just have to be all in one.
Yeah, the best part of the show is when she's gone apparently off the call, and you start playing this diarrhea sound, and then she comes back and says bye. That's the best part of the show. That is like the end of ever. But yeah, you see, you can't make up or like kind of structure or fake that kind of segment of the podcast. It just happened naturally, and I was just like, dude, this is gold. You should frame
it. Actually, really cracked up. It was when I turned my screen off because I couldn't hide my laughter.
Yeah.
And when I did that, Sia knew instinctively that I was doubled over and crying. and that set him off.
That's what I did. Like, we lost a soldier here. She can't do it.
I wish I could watch this video of this interview go down, because I see you guys' faces and see us spitting out his water.
It is recorded, so perhaps you could. I'm not sure.
Rob, are you still on that group with Ben and Gord?
Yeah, I am. Although, like, we haven't, I mean, sometimes we just send updates to each other, but, like, I don't know what's been happening in Ben's life romantically. I always want to know, you know, because I know it's quite hard out there, but now he's got this, like, rocking
bar. Everybody wants to know. Yeah, everybody wants to know. But Ben, honestly, if he had something going on, we would know about it. I think he's just focused. He's such a soldier. He's just, like, focused on getting into amazing shape, which I think everybody knows.
You know, he took two roads. He could either go off the rails and start, like, drinking heavily and completely lose himself in that thing, which I probably would have done.
Yeah.
But he took the high road, dude, and he just, like, trained. He's got his little cats going, you know, got his vids, putting stuff out there. I think it's going to be a while, but Ben has to meet someone that really he, like, connects with and, like, has a deep thing with. But I don't know, man. Who knows when that's going to happen? I mean, look, my advice is bullshit, because it's always going to be do rails, go to a club, and get fucked up. But that's just, you know.
Do rails?
That's how I deal with things.
Lines, yeah.
Yeah. Lines.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, clutch my
what
pearls.
What did you maybe think it was?
I'm like, rails of what?
Did you think of a train?
Like, no, I'm thinking, what rails are we making?
A very fast train station, pal. And then sometimes I catch up with Gord and stuff, but I think Gord is like, he makes me laugh. I listen all the time when he's on the radio and stuff. But
Gord,
I think
Gord in the beginning took this whole COVID thing super seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was deep into it. And I don't know how he managed to be in isolation that long. I mean, I think that's probably why he went back to smoking bud weed and sometimes lost his mind a bit. But I'm so glad he's doing these books. I think that's going to be Gord's, like, breakaway. That's going to be Gord's, like,
It's definitely, it's the best thing. And he's so good at it. I can't wait for him to publish them. I don't want to give away too much without him knowing about it, because
the next JK.
I'm telling you, he could be really, really successful in this. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, because a lot of my friends are growing weed. You know, now in South Africa, you're allowed to have a certain amount, and the rules
are different. Yeah, that's amazing
also. So I've heard, and again, I don't know anything about this. I know indica and sativa. I know indica is like the one that chills you out, and sativa is the one that's like gives you some energy. Then there are names for all these different strains, which are, and there are a million different things. I mean, who knew that marijuana was so complicated?
No, I think it just depends. With there's some OG strains that everyone knows, like blue cheese or like Kush, OG Kush, or like Haze, Lemon Haze. There's like the original strains, but then what people do is they combine these strains, or they like splice them, or like merge them in some fucked up way. Mm-hmm. And then they just come up with their own names, like Bubblegum Hash and stuff like that. I really think it has no relevancy to the plant, maybe some extract, but it is quite a science. And I think one of my mates has like a whole house where he set up this indoor with the piping and ventilation. And
this is
thing.
It.
It's like a whole operation.
I've got this one mate who's got, he was showing me pictures of, he's got tents up in his house and he's got UV lights, and like these lights cost 40,000 rand each to put up.
Geez.
No. It's absolutely insane. And it's like a science. I mean, this is what's interesting to me, because, you know, I've got an interest in chemistry and all the rest of it. So I have pretty weird hobbies as well. This guy is taking it super seriously, and he knows.
Dude, there's a lot of money to be made. I'm telling you, there's a lot of money to be made. But since it's become a little bit more legal, I think there's a lot of people who are starting to grow now. And like, I think, you know, we're going to see prices. Well, apparently my mate said the prices of like good weed have gone rocketing down, because a lot of people are just growing now. So the dealers aren't that like exclusive. It's like the same when the alcohol became legal again. Yeah. You're not going to call your dealer and pay like 1,000 rand for a bottle. But I don't know. But it's still, the thing is, if cops bust into your house, you're still fucked. Big time.
Totally.
That's the risk. I don't know if I can handle that shit.
This is really interesting. A story from NPR in America. Scientists say a mind-bending rhythm in the brain can act like ketamine. Listen to this. No, no, seriously. And
where's this going?
Well, I mention this because we always end up talking about drugs with Rob. But listen to this. Out-of-body experiences are all about rhythm, a team reported on Wednesday in the journal Nature. Now, that's a very respectable publication. Nature is the journal in which many scientists publish their findings. In mice, and even in one person, scientists were able to reproduce the altered state often associated with the drug ketamine by inducing certain brain cells to fire together in a slow rhythmic fashion. There was a rhythm that appeared, and it was an oscillation that appeared only when the patient was disassociating. This is very interesting shit.
You see, that type of stuff happens with me on a normal Monday morning. I really don't need any other shit helping me do that.
What, you start having disassociation in your brain?
All sorts of things, Gareth. All sorts of things.
Well, I'm trying to remember all the times I've done kits, and like usually it's never on its own. It's always in combination with like four or five different other drugs. Jesus. So I can't say that, but I think, gee, if you had to do a drug, I think ket would be something you should try, because it does have an out-of-body experience.
Dude. I'm so like, you know,
Gareth
so
gets
terrified.
Cross of himself when he sneezes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm such a control freak. And I'm also, I've said this to people before, and
don't do LSD then.
No, I won't do LSD. You know, I'm so frightened of messing up my brain chemistry.
Yeah, no, that's why I've completely stopped smoking weed at all, because it just fucks with your mind, especially hash and stuff. Or it just does me. I'm not speaking for all the weed smokers, but it really fucks up your equilibrium in terms of like, it makes you depressed, really. Like, I feel honestly depressed. And I mean, like, that's not even like smoking hectically and stuff. So yeah, you got to be careful for that shit. That's why I always just have a balance. Okay. Like one night a week, you can go crazy. But yeah, I've seen some people lose their minds going more than like four nights a week. And that's
just the worst. What's the worst you've seen?
So, yeah. And they just can't handle this city will suck you in. Amsterdam will suck you into the party lifestyle, because drugs are so easy to get you. Like, you just get a number and they deliver it like Uber Eats. Like, and it's not even that expensive.
Dr. Jonathan Witt says, never take ketamine on its own. That is my professional advice. So,
yeah. Good. Thanks, Jonathan.
Must you have it with food?
Thank you, Dr. Witt. I have never induced ket by itself.
There we go. So you and he have that in common. All right. So, Rob, this girlfriend, give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so been dating for, I think it was our 1 year actually last week. I can't remember, but it was our 1 year recently. And it's actually been nice. It's actually really stabilized my life, because when I was single, I was fucked up 3 days a week, borderline alcoholic, drug addict. And now it's actually like stabled me out. And I'm just learning to enjoy it. It's not easy, you know, not like a smooth road, but it's really good for me. You know, I think it's like got my head on straight and stuff. So, for example, just went out to Friday night and I can relax with her. I don't feel like I need to go out and get fucked up, which is like something super nice, you know. Like, I don't have that FOMO of like, oh, I've got to be on the party at all and stuff. And what's really helped is having my motorbike, because on a Saturday I can't ride when I'm fucked up.
Yeah, of course.
It's really helped those two things. But being in a relationship school, I mean, I'm hoping to.
You just illustrated something really useful, I think, for anyone who's addicted to anything, whether it's gambling or exercise or drugs or
get
sex.
A girlfriend.
No. Like, find something you care about more than that, and you will prioritize that thing that you do more, that you want to do
100%.
More. Like, if it's travel, then put that at the top of your list and everything else will fall in line. So listen to this quickly. Sean says, you guys should see my mushroom setup. The little bastards should be ready in a few weeks.
Oh, shrooms.
Growing his own shrooms. Now, that's all at the level of science.
I don't fuck with shrooms, dude. I've had too many bad experiences.
It's funny.
If Rob says that, then I won't even try.
Cabello says, it's funny how Gareth is talking to High Rob, but it sounds like Sia and Leanne are the high ones.
You never know.
Well, good point.
A bump in the morning. Oh, that could be dangerous. But what I was actually wanted to say is that, like, I speak to a lot of people and stuff, and I think before I had my bike and stuff, I didn't have really passion. I wasn't passionate about anything, and a lot of people aren't passionate about anything. Mm. They find themselves at bars or clubs or, like, just getting fucked up because there's nothing else to do on a Saturday and a Sunday. Yeah, you can go to restaurants, and that was my problem. I had no excuse not to get fucked up, and now, luckily, like, I have one, and I enjoy riding motorbikes, and, it's actually, quote-unquote, saved me. from like a bunch
okay,
of
but a lot of people are very disappointed. They like you high and out of control and fucked up. So I've got to say, like, for the show, this might be the last appearance you ever make because
no.
Let's be honest. You know, unless he's high.
Gareth, you stuck by me when I've stopped drinking. You can do this.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, well, like, next
we can rebrand.
Yeah. No, next
he
time
can be a reformed Rob.
Yeah, I'll have to do Kit and then we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. don't let him pressure you.
No, Rob, so Craig has got a profile picture on WhatsApp of his bike and he says, ah, now we're talking motorcycling. Yes, this makes sense. What bike are you riding and what are you keen to ride? Can totally relate.
No. Yeah. Well, just for all the listeners who ride bikes. So it was my first motorbike purchase and I bought a 48 Harley Davidson. 1200, and then I had a stage 4 kit put on it with a straight pipe and a filter and some engine tops or something. They just made it, so it went from a 1200 to it's about 1500 right now, and it's fucking loud.
most people like start off with just a little
toot.
Yeah. But I waited 3 years, so I visualized. I was like, I'm gonna get a motherfucker. I want a fuck you bike.
You must call it. Has your bike got a name?
Yeah, I just call it the Beast. I mean, it's super loud. But if you want to check it out, it's on my Instagram. It's not a closed profile anymore, and then you can just see what it looks
like. You're letting people in now.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
You've become a celebrity. All right, so Rob, the name, I think you should call it Istutut.
I mean,
and it's called that because it goes. Do, 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 do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it doesn't sound as powerful, but okay, I'll give it a chance. The Beast will be replaced. Toot toot.
Toot toot.
Not toot toot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. The bike can handle it, but I do look forward to getting another, like, smaller, easy bike to run around. So, yeah. Oh, with the plane in the background. Gangster.
Oh, jeez.
Look at George. George is sitting in the hangar with the plane. George, how
you don't
long
get
did
more
it...
gangster than that.
That is
the
so...
top gun of it all.
All right,
yeah, so, that's top gun shit.
Somebody take a picture of George and we'll post it on the website. This is so cool. He's sitting
I'll
in the hangar. He's got his plane behind him.
George, you did this on purpose, dude. Don't lie.
Of course
I was listening to you, Rob. That's why.
So listen, what do you think of Rob becoming a serious bike enthusiast?
Yeah, I think that's kick-ass.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
You don't have to say that, George. I know you're a car guy, so... It's like I'm talking about my bike and George just comes on with these like dope ass airplane in the background. I'm just like, okay, time to go, guys.
Just shed on your stories.
That's my cue, dude.
He was at home and then when he heard the bike talk, he
drove over. Haircut. Looks like a skydiver. Fuck.
No, George, that's a beautiful plane, man. What kind of plane is that? Now, we've gone from motorbike enthusiasts to plane. Describe your plane to people who are aviators, and they'll get an idea of what you're flying there.
Well, this airplane is made in South Africa. The company is in Springs. It's been rebranded a couple of years ago, now called Bushcat. It used to be called Rainbow Cheetah, mm-hmm. which is this model. And it's a two-seater side-by-side, has a Rotax 912 engine in it, 100 horses, mm-hmm. and cruises anywhere between 85 to 100 miles an hour.
That sounds, that just gave me a semi. I mean, I don't even know. That's the coolest shit in the world.
Wait, what did you say with the one name? Was it Cheetah? What was it called?
This one's called the Rainbow Cheetah.
Now, that's a good name for weed. Now that's a good name. Rainbow Cheetah.
That's a very good name for you. So George, you're definitely getting lots of attention on the show these days. And listen to this. This is from Grant. Grant says, I only get to listen to the podcasts usually. I miss the live broadcast. But last week I was listening to George from Auto Trader. That guy has such a voice. I would let him test drive my wife just so I could listen to him give me a review. How's that? Jeez, you don't get compliments greater than that, George.
Thanks, but yeah, no problem.
George is a married man, so hold yourselves back if you can.
He's a married man and he's a gangster.
Such a gangster, yeah. I've got a friend. Listen to all the planes in the background. I've got a friend who flies, and I have to tell you, like, I'm not jealous of him, because I suppose if I wanted to, I could learn to fly. You know, my dad had a pilot's license before he had a driver's license, and my grandfather and my uncle were both pilots, and my sister's boyfriend is. So I've got lots of kind of aviation around me, and I'm a little bit. It's not jealous. It's a bit. It may be an ego thing. That it's,
I'm totally jealous.
That somehow he's cooler. He's cooler than all the rest of us because he can fly.
I don't know. You know, flying has this kind of, you know, this coolness factor. Before yes. I was a pilot, it was like, wow. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest with you, for everybody listening, it is not that difficult to fly an airplane. It takes a lot of training.
Yeah.
But once you've got it. You know, you've got to concentrate a lot. It's not like driving a car. So, I mean, don't think for a second it's like driving a car. But it's like anything else in life. When you've learned the skill, it becomes enjoyable. You know, it's not like you're constantly working. You're only really working on takeoff and landing. When you're flying, you're not working that hard.
That's so nice. So, damn, man, I'm a little jealous. All right, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, so Gareth, the 25 worst drivers ever, driving countries ever in the world.
Okay.
Who do you think they are? And do you think South Africa? Do you think South Africa is in the top 25?
Yeah, I think we have more accidents than most countries, but I think Russia is the worst.
Russia?
Yeah, I you know how I say that? Because in Russia, everyone has a dash cam in their car because insurance claims are insane, and everybody in Russia claims that shit's happened to their car when they've just been drunk, basically. There's no such thing as traffic police in that country. It's a free-for-all. People drive shit cars. It's just a mess. Am I right? Is Russia at the top?
Russia is not at the top, which I would it's I would have thought exactly. It's not on the top, and you've got
I would
not
think India. Just, yeah. for sure.
India.
So that on the top of the list, believe it or not, is the USA.
What?
And it comes from texting and driving.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Texting and driving. Apparently, 1.6 million incidents per year from texting and driving.
Didn't your hero Oprah Winfrey try to do something about that, Sia?
Yes, she did. She had the no phone zone pledge a couple of years ago. Thank you very much.
No phone zone pledge.
Yes, she was making people sign that they would make their cars a no-phone zone.
No-phone zone. Well, in second place is Turkey, and third place is Brazil. And South Africa doesn't feature in the top 25, which is interesting.
Okay.
In Africa, Egypt, Malawi, Nigeria, Liberia, Libya, Ghana, and Mozambique feature in the top
25. Now that you've brought up all those countries, I suddenly realize we're not so bad. I mean, we may have a huge road death toll, but those countries, you try to drive in a place like Lagos, it's a free-for-all. And
there are no lanes.
Anyone who's ever been to Lagos will tell you it's a complete – how anything even works is just beyond explanation.
Yeah, it's just anybody everywhere.
Okay, Russia's 16th. I would have thought it would be right up there.
Hmm.
Okay.
No, I agree.
And Amsterdam, you guys have no cars in Holland because everyone's on bikes, so –
yeah, I mean, I must say, I feel so safe riding my motorbike here because, I mean, I've already racked up €1,200 in fine. I don't know how much that is. And that's just from doing, burnouts on the road. And
that's like 20 grand.
Yeah,
I know.
Hey, Rob, I saw this incredible thing on Instagram the other day, and I think it's something George might even have mentioned before, of when they take a front end loader or some kind of heavy machinery, a JCB or whatever. And they, let's just wait for the planes to go past George.
Yeah.
And they use these things to pull bikes out of the canals. They pull
yeah,
like
yeah,
hundreds and hundreds of bicycles out of the canals.
Yeah. But It's not even just bikes. The stuff that they pull up is crazy. It's like car parts. It's like scooters. I've seen them pull up like washing machines, TVs, like literally the craziest stuff.
People throw them in.
I think during King's Day, which is like the craziest day here, people lose their minds and obviously do shitloads of drugs. And some of the tourists just, or the locals just break down their apartments and throw their shit into the canal. They're not even protesting anything. They just fucked up.
It's like Hillbrow where you throw TVs out the windows.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, Leanne. It's, you know, we don't feel so bad when TVs and washing machines come flying out of Hillbrow flats.
Yeah. All right, George, what else are you going for us?
Well, here's an interesting one. Your dating profile. What kind of car, or should you have a car in your dating profile, and what does it do to your messages? And research says that on average, people who have a car in their photograph have 165% more inbound messages than vehicle-less people.
Damn, who knew?
No, you see, for me, it's the opposite. If a guy takes a photograph of himself in his car or in front of his car, then it's the same as holding a fish or a pair of anchors.
You got to have the 35i with the guy in the driver's seat just parked over like this.
Well, let me put Rob out of his misery. So what beats the BMW, Rob, is the Jeep. If you have a Jeep in your profile picture, you get 243% more messages.
Just hold on, I'm taking this down.
Oh, that's so great.
And then BMW features it gives you about 150% more messages if you have a BMW in your profile picture. And guess who gets the least amount of messages?
An Uno driver.
A hatchback driver.
Oh, shit.
Oh. You have a wife and kids, right?
Well, you get...
You're definitely taken. And in something boring.
Yeah, nothing left to give.
Yeah. And then the cars that get you a decrease in messages, guess what those are? So a Honda, a Chev, a Toyota, a Ferrari gets you a decrease in messages.
Oh, okay.
Probably because people don't believe you.
Yeah, I would say that.
Well, I'm just looking, and Rob has got his bike in his profile picture on WhatsApp, and he's putting on his glove in the picture.
Ooh, yeah. Badass.
Would that you reckon that would help?
I don't know about the glove, maybe the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never actually tested out these pictures on Tinder, if Susie, you're listening. Yeah. So, yeah, classic.
All right, what else, George?
Then the color of your car, what does it say about your personality? Some psychologists did some research, and red is often a color chosen by those who have a zest for life, apparently.
Yeah, and they tend to be shit drivers.
People really? In red cars.
Yeah, I've always looked out for people in red cars because they're slightly more attention-seeking and therefore probably a little more aggressive.
Oh,
well, that's my understanding. I might be wrong. But George says a zest for life, so I suppose he's trying to put a positive spin on it.
Well, those people that drive red cars apparently are more outgoing, aggressive, fun, and impulsive.
There we go.
Hmm.
Okay.
And then if you drive a gray car, you're a person that doesn't want to stand out.
Well, that's very true, because those are the cars that are mostly in accidents. But you literally can't see them.
Well, yeah, they blend into the background. And then if you have a silver-colored car, indicates that you're a high-class person with an eye on the upscale. And your status in your mind is higher in the world, and you're not afraid to show it.
Oh, see, he's very full of himself because he has a silver car. Let me
get it.
Let me say I have a silver car mentality there.
Just read that again, George, about what silver car people are. Because Sia actually visibly puffed up during that description. Go ahead.
Your
status is higher in the world, and you're not afraid to show it. Your practical, innovative, business savvy, and good taste are evident.
Oh, George.
Sia's about to have the best weekend ever.
Music to my ears.
Living his best life.
And then if you drive a blue car, you're compassionate, optimistic, stable, honest, and serene.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. If you drive a black car, on the other hand, you are dignified and striking without trying to be showy.
Right. That's me.
These are like star signs.
Yeah. Yeah. Leanne is dignified and, sorry, already we've got a problem.
And then finally, if you drive a white car, you are associated with honesty and purity. And if your car is white, you have a taste and elegance to strive for perfection.
No, not true.
Do you remember that?
You're basically a kitchen appliance.
Do you remember that green cars were seen as bad luck, and that's why there were never many green cars? And then British Racing Green became popular 30, 40 years ago. And that for the first time we had green back on the scene.
The only color we're interested in, because there's a long history of this color on the show, is brown. Yes. What does a brown car tell you about the person?
I don't know that.
I don't know. Let me see if I can look it up very quickly.
Brown otherwise, car. That's all we give a shit about, George.
A brown car. Okay, I've got silver, blue, green, brown or beige. Okay, so if your car is brown or beige.
Not too dark, eh, George?
You are down to earth, thrifty and honest. You tend to put your foot in your mouth, though.
Yeah.
Okay, if you drive a brown car.
So brown is embarrassing, like we thought.
Makes sense.
I was driving a brown Bucky a couple of weeks ago, remember?
A brown Bucky.
I felt very down to earth and with my foot in my mouth.
Thrifty.
All right. Okay, cool. Anything else you want to throw in?
Well, very lastly, what do you think the top excuses are that people get away with when it comes to being caught by cops? And here comes another airplane. Give me one second.
I think it's that you need to go to the loo.
The top excuse, a third of people claim that they didn't realize they were speeding and they get away with it.
No, I tried that. It didn't work for me. I got arrested.
And then 20% of people get away with it by saying that they're late for work.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And another 20% get away with it by saying they have a medical emergency.
Oh,
and then believe it or not, 17% of people actually get away with speeding fines, with not getting a speeding fine, by saying that they desperately need the bathroom.
Yeah, that's Leanne's
one. Yes.
And that's it, yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. George, thanks for coming to us live from the airfield this morning. It's very cool. Mm. We weren't expecting that. Nice surprise. Hi, Rob. Always good to see you, my friend.
Sorry for not being high.
No. No, the only person who seems to have a problem with you not being high is Bulelo, who says the following. Let me just read this to you quickly. He says, hi, Rob. Hang on. Where is the stamp? Here we go. Hi, Rob is like Eminem's music. You need drugs to be good.
Fair point.
Guys, stop it.
I don't agree, dude. It's good to see you. Thanks for being a part of the show this morning.
It's good to finally see you guys on the screen.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday. CliffCentral.com.